Intervju Radija Študent.
Lepo zdrav, dragi poslušalci, poslušalke Radija Študent. Nahajamo se v terminu intervjuja, ki je rezerviran za intervju. Tokrat imamo v studiju 4 goste. Govora bo namreč o jutrišnjem protestu nevidnih delavcev sveta in v povezavi s tem tudi bomo govorili o gibanju, ki se zdaj že 2-3 tedne razvija v Španiji, tako imenovano gibanje 15. maj. Kako do teh povezav prihaja na relaciji Španija-Slovenija, bom danes govoril torej 4 gosti. Na moji levi sedi Irina, študentka iz Bosne, sicer aktivistka socialnega centra Rok in nevidnih delavcev sveta. Pozdravljena.
Dobar dan, pozdravljena se slušalce Radija Študent.
Evo, na moji desni pa sedijo 3 gosti Španije, ki se zaradi takšnih ali drugačnih razlogov nahajajo v Sloveniji. Alba.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Miguel.
Miguel, I'm sorry, I already forgot your name.
Okay.
I'm really bad with names. And Juan, who was already a couple of days ago here in the studio. We're going to start first with Irina, so she can explain a little bit about what's going on tomorrow. So we're going to speak in Slovene. Irina, povej nam, jutri se v parku Tabor ob 2. uri, o čemer smo seveda že poročali, organizira manifestacijo oziroma neke vrste protest, shod nevidnih delavcev sveta. Namen protesta bo kakšen?
Ja, imaš prav, jutri se začinja protest nevidnih delavcev sveta in namen tega protesta je, da delavci dobijo svoje plače. Namreč, ne vem, kako poslušalci Radio Študent živejo, ampak od kdaj se je začela gospodarska kriza, migrantski delavci so morali se vrniti nazaj, ker največja podjetja v Sloveniji gradbena so propadla, predvsem SCT in Begrad. In pač delavci so šli domov brez svojih plač.
Govorimo namreč o temu, da po sedanji zakonodaji so tuji migrantski delavci vezani na delodajalce, ne? Ko zgubijo delovno mesto, avtomatsko zgubijo tudi dovoljenje za bivanje in se morajo v določenem roku vrniti nazaj.
Ja,
tudi če zgubijo pravice iz delovnega razmerja. Ne?
Ja, točno tako. Viza jim poteka in pač oni morajo se vrniti nazaj. Ampak zdaj delavci so zelo jezni, ker so se morali vrniti nazaj brez svojih plač. Določenim ljudem delodajalci dolgujejo tudi čez 10.000 evrov. To je pač za migrantske delavce velik denar in oni želijo svoje plače nazaj. Glih zaradi tega bojo jutri organizirali proteste.
To pomeni delavci, govorimo večinoma delavcih iz Bosne, ne?
Ja, večinoma delavci iz Bosne, nekje migrantski delavci iz Bosne, jutri bo prišlo okoli 100.
Torej, govorimo o delavcih, ki so po propadu podjetij, kot so Vegrad in SCT, s tem, da so jim delodajalci bili dolžni za več mesečnih plač in ostalih stvari, ki so jim bili dolžni izplačati na podlagi delovnega razmerja. Torej, te pravice so bile kršene in so pred povrnitvijo teh sredstev mogli zapustiti državo zaradi izgubljenega delovnega mesta. Jutri se vračajo, da bi v centru mesta svojo prisotnost nekako opozorili na situacijo, kjer se nahajajo. Imate kakšne stike s pristojnimi ministrstvi? Tudi mogoče, kakšne so vaše pričakovanje glede jutrišnjega protesta?
Pač mi nimamo nekakšnih določenih pričakovanj. Pričakovanje so takšno, da ljudi predvsem pridejo nazaj, ker med se borimo za pravico do gibanj, do svobodnega gibanja, pravico do prečkanja mej in mislimo, da bomo na nekakšen način zmagali samo s tem, da se delavci vrne nazaj in da povejo, kaj jim se dejansko zgodilo v Sloveniji.
Glavna želja In namen jutrišnjega protesta je pa verjetno, da se doseže v čim krajšem roku, da se tem delavcem te plače in ostale stvari, ki jih morajo dobiti, vrnejo oziroma nakažejo čim prej. To je,
ja, to je res. Ja, to je smisel tega protesta, pa tudi to. Migrantski delavci glede zaradi tega, ker, ker so bili izkoriščeni, zahtevajo pravico do svobodnega trga dela, da jim se izplačajo plače in da imajo izbiro, da se samo organizirajo in da začnejo govoriti o svoji ime.
Delavci, ki so mogli zapustiti državo ob propadu teh podjetij, ne, ob izgubi delovnega mesta, so mogli zdaj zavrniti v Slovenijo zaprositi za vize. So imeli kakšne težave? Ste imeli vi kot nek organizator tega protesta težave na tem področju?
Ne, nismo imeli mislim, težave so, ampak to so takšne birokratske težave, katere si imajo, si ljudje imajo, ko želijo dobiti vizo, recimo pridobite vize traja nekaj časa, ti moraš zbrati določeno dokumentacijo, moraš imati denar, sem ponavadi, mislim, delavci nimajo tega denarja, kateri se išče, da viza se dobi. Pač vedno so določene težave, če želiš pridobiti vizo.
Ja, problem teh delavcev je tudi ta, da so oni v bistvu eksistencialno odvisni od tega denarja, ki jim je delodajalec dolžen.
Ja, seveda. In recimo, mislim, recimo za zavarovanje, če želiš pridobiti vizo, trebaš plačati zavarovanje. In od česa, če jim ti delodajalec ni plačeval v Sloveniji?
To pomeni, kdo je pa poravnal pa te stroške teh viz?
Pa imeli smo določene donacije. Predvsem nam je pomagala Metelkova z svojim koncertom in imeli smo določene donacije za naše, pač aktivizem, naš prostovoljno delo.
Skratka, plod solidarizma.
Ja, solidarizma.
I'll try to just quickly say what we discussed with Irina for you. So what's going on tomorrow, and I'm sure you're already familiar with that, is a bigger group of workers from Bosnia, migrant workers who didn't get paid for months and months of work done in Slovenia, are coming back from Bosnia now to Slovenia to protest for their rights. It's done in the organization of the Invisible Workers of the World. And I want to relate this protest, which is basically a workers' protest, with your protest that is going on, with this movement that's going on in Spain. The movement in Spain is not a specifically workers' movement, it's not specifically student movement, it's a much wider movement. How did you find, was that easier for you to find relations between your movement and the movement of the invisible workers of the world, maybe?
Well,
Well, okay. Yeah. I think which we are sharing now is like this invisibility of citizens now, and yeah, it's true that we are not talking only about work or about employment. Even if I think all this movement has been triggered for these high rates of unemployment in Spain, but I think we want to go beyond and we want to talk about that we, even if we are living in a democracy, which is really young also as the Slovenian one, and we are really proud of being democracy, of course, but I think that we all think that it's not enough and that we need to participate in a different way, that it's not sufficient to go every 4 years to vote in to vote for a program which has been already designed without consulting you and without your participation.
So it's in a way it's very similar similar those both movements because they are both based in the labor market.
Yeah.
And
no, so we are trying to defend our rights as workers, as people, because we want in Spain, as Alba said. We just vote every 4 years, and we want the government to listen us not only once every 4 years, but yeah, all the time, and we want to defend our rights. And I think that that's what we have in common, that we think that the workers in all the world that all the people have their rights and they have to be defended.
So the problem is in the governments who are not responsive enough to the needs of its citizens.
Yes, I think that in a way I think that they don't care about us. They don't listen to us. They have their own plan that is based on money and free market and capitalism. And we want some change. We want something different. We want they to listen to us, to listen to what we want.
Yeah. On this point, I would like to ask you, Juan, how is the movement going? How is the movement developing in Spain right now? It's going on for 2-3 weeks, and already there are some cracks in the movement.
Yep. Maybe I just would like to say something else about the relationship. We are talking here about invisible workers, no? And but when it comes to this financial economical crisis, which are has been proven to be a structural problem of the economical system, we all are invisible towards the system, in the sense that we are not asked about the decisions, the measures that are taken, but not even our governments are so powerful, so sovereign anymore. No, this supranational institutions, they tell them what measures to take, and they have to tell us there it is, like if it was the only solution to the crisis. No,
so the perfect example is Greece.
Yeah.
Also in Spain, all the measures were taken were imposed by supranational institutions. No, and we wanna complain against that. We wanna be visible. That's why we took back the squares as that public space where you have this possibility to talk and make really real public opinion, no? Such a privatized opinion.
Just open public space for debate.
Yeah.
You started with tents on the biggest square on the main square in Madrid, which quickly spread all over Spain. Mm-hmm. Are the streets still or the square still taken by the protesters in Spain, or has it moved maybe to universities or other forms?
Well, they are trying to spread this movement to in a smaller scale in the neighborhoods, so it can be more accessible for the ordinary people, the neighbors every day, and to raise their claims. But they're still the main squares are still occupied. And also in Madrid now they are discussing quite intensely about whether to stay 1 week more or just split into different districts. But I think, somehow in the media it looks that this movement has lost a bit of its strength. But I think the spirit and the strategies are still there, and that's the important thing.
As long as there is high unemployment, there is room for protests like that.
And
so
a lot
you
of time
be afraid
to go there.
What's going on with the split in the movement? We have the Real Democracy Now, and then we have the 15th of May movement, which are not, they say they're brotherly movements, but they're not one and the same. So is this danger for this kind of movement, which is growing which is in its first phase, maybe? No. Are such divisions dangerous for the movement?
No, I don't think so. Just the Real Democracy organized the, how to say that in English,
demonstration
that was 2 weeks ago, and then the movement began. But they are not
spontaneously, no, in a way. Yeah. The demonstration. Sorry for interrupting you. Demonstration was organized by this platform, which was this internet platform. No unions involved, no parties involved. And after that, there was this spontaneous movement towards the squares to take back the squares, to make these assemblies and talk about different issues.
And they are not behind the movement. And I don't think it's dangerous for the movement, because we just want to show that we are not happy with the system as it is now. And it is good that there are lots of people in it. That in a way, I think that the Real Democracy group, as a group, they are not they are supporting the movement, although they are not involved. I mean that this, I don't know how to say that, this movement was not organized by Real Democracy, but yeah. They are supporting it. Mm-hmm. They agree with the movement.
I think what is really important is that they let everybody to participate. So it's, they are not claiming for like a manifesto that you have to sign. That I think they have come up with just four really basic statements about what they are asking for, that everybody agrees. About corruption, about like a change in the electoral system and things like that. But like apart from that, I think is that what is important is that this is spreading into a more smaller scale, so that you can participate in a straight way, and then within a horizontal system, so that allows to raise these claims into a superior level. So all these districts' petitions are gonna be put together and discussed to be raised into a political sphere.
So, in one sense, this system, this protest, this movement is intentionally being organized horizontally, without any aspiration for direct political action.
Yeah.
Instead, what you want is to force the political forces that already exist. Mm-hmm. Into being different, into changing themselves.
So far, there are no leaders, no political party was created so far. Mm-hmm.
And but actually, like there are in these assemblies, in these small assemblies, of course, it has to be a representative or like a
spokesman.
Yeah, a spokesman or a secretary or something like that. But even they say it's a really neutral job, and it's going to be also rotative. So people is not going to stay in a position.
So, for example, in Madrid, in every neighborhood of Madrid, you have, if I imagine correctly, people's assemblies, public assemblies. Mm-hmm. They debate on what, once a week, or how does it function?
No, I think they have more and more independent role. All the assemblies, they decide when they are going to meet.
But what's the practice?
They meet like, let's say, every week. Some others, they decided to meet every 2 weeks, every second week. Yeah. And they discuss basically the local problems. Mm-hmm. I think there is a double dynamic here in a way. Take it like focused in a local way where you can really act and you can really get to know the real problems in the neighborhood, let's say. And in the other way, there is this global movement, no, through the new technologies, through internet, to keep all the demands like in a direction, or to share them at least based on some basic principles. There is one really nice idea they proposed to make a digital parliament, so to say, with this new wiki technology, or no, to make some proposal and people can modify it little by little till you can reach an agreement and actually take it to the Congress or to the.
But did the movement already articulate its goals? For example, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 mm-hmm. specific goals, or is that also still a process which
at
goes
first
on?
It was clear when it was the demonstration. Then lots of people went out to the squares, and they all had ideas, and it was thousands of people.
That's a problem.
Yeah, yes.
Everybody has ideas.
It's a good problem.
That's a problem, yes. Because everybody has an idea, and everybody wants to express it. And for that, you need a lot of time to get all the ideas together, to get to make all the people agree on only 3 or 4 statements.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the movement is also
But now they actually came to an agreement on 4 points. No, but I think they are still quite broad, quite general. But
they're coming back to these 4 basic mm-hmm. statements. Mm-hmm.
There are some specific things like changing the electoral system, because it is the 2 main parties to run. And there is a really hard choice for the other parties to be representing. Yeah. And so that's quite clear. That there is a second one, which is like kicking out all the corrupt politicians in the final list of candidates for the government. But then there is like a quite vague claim for like a real separation between the 3 powers.
The checks and balances, no, this mm-hmm. separation.
It has to be.
It's quite broad. Also, I think even the to kick out all the corrupted politicians. I mean, we all agree on that, but it's broad in the sense that I think that there's still an agreement to be made on how to do it or how to propose it, because you cannot just say it. And so
the basic point up until now is just to capture the spirit of the movement in some new legislation. So
yes, we want some kind of change.
And mainly a change into the participative system. And also
to be a real democracy, you know, the movement that organized the manifestation, it is called Real Democracy Now. So that's actually a message for, well, not a message, but I mean, every single person, every single collective, every single country, they have their own circumstances. But what is beautiful in Spain, or what was beautiful in Spain, is that a lot of common people that many times, for sure, most of them, they were not involved in any protest or any, they were common people not gathering for nothing particular, and now they all took the streets and they all want to express their opinion and they all want to share their ideas on how to build their own future. No, they want to be part
actually
of their
I don't
future.
Know you guys, but I could never think about being here in the Slovenian radio talking about this situation.
Yeah, so thank God for unemployment. It's been very helpful for you. Irina, povenam ti, kako ste vi v socialnem centru Rok in nevidni delovci sveta videli to neko korelacijo z gibanjem v Španiji, kako ste se povezali? To je verjetno nekako spontano prišlo, ne?
Ja, to pač se je zgodilo zelo spontano, ampak jaz vidim, da čeprav, mislim, na nekakšen način smo različni, ampak tudi smo zelo, zelo podobni v temu, kar iščemo. To je pravico do zaposlitve, do rednega prihodka, da mislim, v današnje dneve vsi smo prekerni. Študentsko delo današnje, kako je sestavljeno, študenti, kateri delajo za 3-4 evra po uro, sploh ni nekakšne varnosti za delavce. V tem smislu mislim, da smo zelo, zelo podobni, da delamo na nekakšnoj nekakšnim delavskim pravicami, ker želimo narediti, mislim, sistem na takšen način, da se imamo kolik tok normalno življenje, da se trebamo bojati, ali bomo imeli za kruh, ali pa ne.
So what Irina is saying basically that people here and in Spain and all over Europe basically have the same needs, the same ideas of how a good life should be led, and we are all in the same position regarding the defense and claiming our rights. So there's no problem basically in correlating all those movements.
Basically we are on the same boat.
The spirit of the movements are the same.
Workers all over the world today don't know are they have their own jobs or will they lose tomorrow.
So this fear is present.
This fear is present all over the world.
And I think it's also quite common between us, like this feeling of unprotection and not being represented by the government.
There's too much flexibility going on.
It's
like a flu. So we have to wrap it up. Tomorrow at 2:00 in Park Tabor. That's near Metelkova.
Ja, da se njim Metelkova, pa
kak,
opa, 14. uri pridite, podprite nas.
Skratka, protest jutri je seveda odprt za vse, pozivamo poslušalce, da se ga udeležijo, da pridejo podpret te zahteve in ta boj teh migrantskih delavcev in seveda vseh, ki so na kakšen kol način povezani s tem izkoriščenjem.
Točno tako, mislim, da smo v današnji dneve svi izkoriščeni in da vsi rabimo malo več pravic.
Okay. Če si boste vzeli čas v nedeljo za iti na referendum, si lahko tudi jutri vzamete čas, da prijete podpreti ta protest. You guys are gonna be there tomorrow?
Yes. Yeah, of course. And okay. I think we would like to invite everybody to come there because it's about the immigrant workers, of course, but it's also about like a overall claim for real participation for a true democracy, I think.
Okay, that was an excellent finish. Skratka, to je bil Eriš intervju. Ko ste slišali, govorili smo o jutrišnjem protestu in o povezavah med gibanjem nevidnih delovcev sveta, ki je nekoliko bolj specifično z gibanjem, ki se ravno kar odvija v Španiji. To je to, ostanite naprej na 89,3 in lep večer.
Intervju Radija Študent.